You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hour number three underway. Can talk a little about LSU and UCF. 40-32, the final there. What'd you think of the game? What's the one thing that stands out from that game? Jordan and I have a difference. I think it's one. He thinks it's the other. We'll take your phone calls on that and more. Plus, the three teams that are possible opponents for your New Orleans Saints, the Eagles, the Seahawks, and Cowboys, rank them. The team you want to see the least to the team you would like to see the most. I think the Cowboys are winning right now when it comes to that. Seahawks and Eagles battling out for the least likely opponent that Saints fans kind of want to see. We'll have a little fun with that and more. Anthony, we'll come to you in a quick sec. First, let us officially welcome you to the midway point of your work week.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get
stupid. Today's more that, what, that Camel Wednesday hump day. Is that what it is?
Also, we'll ask you this hour. Got a couple of coaches. Fox Sports is asking, who's the coach of the year? Nagy, Reed, Bears and Chiefs, Peyton, New Orleans Saints. What about Frank Reich with the Colts? Not him. Words of wisdom from Shock G and Division on the Ground.
To all the ladies, peace and happiness forever.
I think if we follow that motto, Jordan, the intern for 2019, it'll be a better place, don't you think, the world? A little peace and humptiness.
Or the treadmill.
Or the treadmill. Join the intern, part of the, where's your Fitbit?
All right. Tell me right now.
Have we become Fitbit friends?
No, there's something messed up. Yours is a little dumb.
So, oh, it's me, huh?
Yeah.
I'm the one.
Your Fitbit's a little dumb, so.
I'm the problem. Yeah. Kattengill family yesterday after lunch on New Year's Day vowed to lose 10 pounds apiece. The first one to do so gets a $50 gift card of their choice.
Can I join?
You can. Got to lose 10 or the most in 31 days. Can you do it?
I got to look good for the Super Bowl.
Oh, is that what you're doing?
Yeah.
That's good to know. You know, you got to win two games before you get there, though.
Yeah, but I'm doing this for me, so.
Okay. Anthony, thanks for giving us a call here on the Sports Hangover. What do you have, man?
Hey, Gus. How you doing, man?
Doing good.
So I just had a comment on the LSU UCF game, man. So the opening drive of the game,
yeah.
Something I was excited, me a little fired up. On second and goal, Burrow lunges for the goal line, and it looked very, very close that he might have crossed in, and there wasn't even a buzz to like review the replay. And I remember I was just so up in arms about it. LSU rushed to the line, they ran a quick snap, ended up getting a false start, and pushed it back to a third and goal from the six, and we ended up kicking the field goal. But it just kind of blew my mind how all these close plays, all these unnecessary plays that are always stopped and reviewed because it may or may have been a catch or whatever, you know, whatever it is. I just don't know how that there wasn't a replay trigger to determine whether or not he got in the end zone because it looked so close. I just don't know how it wasn't stopped to at least, you know, take a look at it. And that just kind of had me, I don't know, just had me a little flustered, man, during the game.
I thought that game was officiated very poorly, don't you?
Yeah.
On a lot of different levels.
Yeah, even on UCF side, man, just someone like they had that one sack that killed our drive, man, and then they called a penalty on him. I forget what the penalty was specifically for, but yeah that kind of, I mean, I didn't mind it too bad, but yeah, it was just officiating's been making it hard to watch, man. It really,
he called it. He called it on 56, the linebacker who sacked Burrow and had the ball in his hand and was walking towards the sideline, and the camera angle shows him, you know, pumped up. And then the official behind him calling for the football, he couldn't hear him. I mean, A, he's yelling. B, the place is going nuts because LSU's about to punt. So then he didn't spike it towards LSU. He spiked it straight down. And it didn't, I think what irked me was the official's face. You saw his face go to like this, I'll show you. I mean, seriously, it was this I'll show you look on his face that just ate me alive. And I get it. that helped LSU, but I'm in the spirit of the game here. I'm like, dude, these are college kids. I would say the same in the NFL. I mean, they're full of emotion. That game was chippy. And I mean, even the announcers talked about it at the very beginning, right? In Greece, he was saying it too. Look, UCF tried to come to play, try to show what was going on. Just in the first 3 minutes, man, it felt like you needed to take a deep breath. You know, the return from LSU, then they score the touchdown, then they get the pick six, and you're like, oh my goodness, right? And then he gets a sack, and you throw a flag because he didn't get you the ball back? I just thought that was a chicken bleep call, man. I just, in general, in the spirit of competition, I'm like, if I can't sack a guy and then, you know, not show emotion, dude, I mean, yeah, right. I don't get it. And then, look, to your point, not only just because you said both sides, if, and I saw a lot of people text this and tweet this, the Fitzgerald thing that, you know, got Devin White out of the game for Bam and all this other stuff. I get it was quote-unquote legal, but that hit on Burrow and other blindside hits, I want to say in the NFL, can you still do that to a point you have to almost, like, face them, right? Like, that play is not done for any other reason than to injure. There's an intent to hurt, right? The crack block or whatever you want to call it.
Oh, absolutely.
But, I mean, that play is a heck of a lot more dangerous to me than a lot of the targeting play. I mean, people were being ejected left and right, even in the game against Texas and Georgia yesterday, right, where a shoulder pad was used, but it's, you know, the guy got tossed for targeting, you know, and I'm like, I just, you, your eyeballs tell it to you, right? I mean, that hit on Burrow,
right,
dude, that, I mean, that, yeah, that'll hurt somebody.
That was just, It was some of the flags that are thrown and some of the non-calls that are made. Just wonder how one, you can have one and not the other. And it's just, it's all across the board, man. But, the way Burrow, man, the way he bounced back, I gotta tell you, I've been back and forth on him all year.
Yep.
But for him to have 12 touchdown passes coming to that game, and that game with four and almost 400 yards pass, I mean, that was by far, I mean, I know that A&M game, he stepped up, it was great, but from the beginning to the end, after that hit, man, Joe Burrow is just, man, I got to tell you, if he can build on that for next year, man, you know, we could really do something with him, man. And Justin Jefferson looked great. Our receivers look great. I'm really, really excited to see if we can carry this into next year, man.
Yeah, no doubt. Thank you for the phone call, man. I appreciate it because, Anthony, that's the question I'm asking some LSU fans here today. I'm like, hey, what's the one thing you took away out of that? Jordan, you said something other to me. I said Joe Burrow. I want to say the last two games, and especially what you saw in that overtime. If there, the biggest reason that I'm excited if I'm an LSU fan is because I got that guy coming back. Remember when he got hit in the corner at LSU with a late hit in one of the games and he popped right back up and just stared? A lot of people are using that as a gif right now to talk about all the team. The game, beginning of the season when you beat Miami. And he goes, hey, for all those people that think that we can't win any games, watch out. Dude been there for like a month. I mean, I know he came in May, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, I loved it. And I thought he's brought something to that position. I mean, even early in that game, when the game was still in the balance early, right? I mean, they were going back and forth. UCF had, he made some key passes on third down. That kid's just tough. Let me tell you, especially when you saw him on the sideline after he got clocked with the gash under his chin right there. You saw it, Jordan? Underneath his jawline? I mean, he had a gash because the helmet came down on him and cut him from the blindside hit. And to come back and lead a scoring drive and throw that touchdown like that, and he got clocked a couple more times in that game, and he never backed down. That's the one thing that stood out to me yesterday more than anything else. You can look at it and say depth. Even Marcus Spears of ESPN's tweeting this morning, you know, UCF, shut up. We put a receiver at corner. Well, you didn't do it because you wanted to show how good or deep you were. You did it because other guys got targeted and ejected. But, again, to me, it's Burrow. Jordan, what's the one thing of the entire game that stood out to you?
I think something that LSU is going to be crucially hurt on next year is the field goal unit. With Cole Tracy being out next year, he's not going to be coming back. I mean, if you look at it, he kept you in maybe half of the games this season.
Okay.
You look at Auburn, he kept you in that game. You look at Georgia. He single-handedly won you that game because if he doesn't make, what was it, like 16
yeah.
points?
Yeah, all the
well, yeah, you're down by 3 points.
He was 4-4 yesterday, 16 points and yesterday. Florida, what was the final score?
It was 40-32.
8-point difference.
And then you see at LSU in Florida, he single-handedly kept you into that game, but the offense couldn't do anything to help mm-hmm. help him out. So I think that's a big hit for LSU, not having a reliable field goal kicker.
And look, that's an interesting statement to it. I mean, obviously one of the scholarships this year was to a field goal kicker. But you're right. I mean, it's an unknown. You don't know him. Right. I have no idea what he can do. All I know is on the road against Auburn, that guy wins you a game.
Right.
All I know is against Georgia, against the team that was as ranked as high as they were at the time
that
they were in Tiger Stadium.
A lot closer than
right?
it was.
He was automatic. And right. look, yesterday, again, we can look at it and go, well, Gus, look at the total yards, 500. I get it. I do. 16 points came off of his foot yesterday.
Yeah.
The final score is an 8-point difference. So what if he doinks? What if he misses? You know?
I'm pretty sure he set a school record yesterday for most consecutive.
Yeah, no, I that's a very good point you bring up. I mean, it's very easy to look at yesterday and go, man, they smoked them and all the, dude, 16 points came off of his foot. He's automatic.
And it's not just that one automatic. Game where he scored 16. That's multiple games where he's done that
yes.
throughout the season.
That's a great point. Multiple times this year, he's accounted for double-digit points.
Right.
And that was one of my concerns, remember, going into this game. I said, hey, look, this team really hadn't shown a ton of offensive stuff. I mean, like, that opening drive was an example as to why I had concern. They get down the field, they have a chance to get a touchdown, and to settle for three. You know? I mean, that was my concern. Now, they scored touchdowns later on in the game. And it did that, but
that got you going.
Again, that's a very good point, man. You're going to miss that next year. You're going to miss that next year. You got a pretty tough schedule to get going there as well. Derek, thank you for calling the Sports Hangover, man. What you got today?
Just a quick question. You keep going on about how the referee threw a flag on and gave him an unsportsmanlike penalty for spiking mm-hmm. the ball. Mm-hmm. I thought it was immediately unsportsmanlike penalty in college if you spike the ball at any time. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when you score a touchdown, they immediately throw that flag if you spike a football.
Yeah, they're tight, man. If he's showing any emotion, that's what I was saying. I'm like, man, yeah, I don't know. I look at that and I'm like, dude, you gotta, I don't know. I mean, look, and I say that to whoever the team is. I just, you know, I look at it. It's a huge penalty for them. That's a massive penalty for them. I'm just saying in general, if you can't show some sort of emotion, I get it, man. The taunting over Burrow when he's on the ground got flagged, right? If you're, you know, spiking at somebody. Exactly. I'm 100% agreeing with you. If Devin White sacks Mac, right, and gets up, and, you know, he tries to strip the ball, whatever he has it, and then spikes it. It's not a penalty. You know what I'm saying? It's just, I mean, I get you're trying to clean it up. And I also think what it was, too, Derek, was at that point in the game, it was chippy. And it felt like one of those moments in a basketball game when you see the double tech to try to calm things down. I almost felt it was sort of like that. Because after every play, both sides were kind of talking smack. Both sides, there was a lot of emotion, but man, I don't know. I think, you know, I there's a lot of other things I can throw a flag on other than that. You know, if I'm walking to my sideline, I have the ball in my hand, you're upset that I'm not tossing the ball back, I can't hear you. And I'm not looking at you. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's just, that was my only thing about it. But, you know, you're right. You're absolutely right. I've seen unsportsmanlike calls this year, whether in LSU games or other, you know, football games. In Tulane games I've done, where there was celebration in the end zone or a spike of the ball hard towards whatever, and a flag came out. And I'm like, my goodness, you cannot celebrate in college, man. You can't.
I do agree that they're way too tight on the celebration rules,
yeah.
But at the same point, it's kind of a give and take that, yeah, you want to show some emotion and you want to be pumped up, but at the same time, the kid just needed to be a little bit smarter about it because he had to know that was going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you, Derek.
All right.
Thank you for the phone call.
That's all I got. Thank you.
For sure, man. Have a good Happy New Year. 800-998-1003. What did you take out of that game the most out of watching? Is it depth, right? I mean, like I said, Marcus Spears tweeted, we're using receivers as defensive backs. Hey, depth is something that kind of stood out to me. I thought the D-line showed a little something, right? Now, granted, you can sit there and say it's not the SEC offensive lines that they face and stuff like that, but you know what? You saw a ton of pressure. But again, that's why I give credit to UCF. They kept coming and coming and coming and didn't go away. You know, UCF didn't go away. But I think that is something that stood out to me. Then you add some of the talent LSU's getting and coming back with next year. How about the fact, has it occurred to you yet that, Jordan, you showed me the tweet, Texas LSU next year, 2019. How about that, Texas and LSU? You watched that game last night. What'd you think of that? It's funny. I mean, going into that game, Georgia belonged in the playoff. Right after that, haha, you see, they didn't, the committee got it right.
Were they even trying, though?
Look, like I said, I remember clearly some Sugar Bowl games where Ohio State, I think, was one, was Wisconsin another that drummed Alabama. Alabama's gotten drummed twice in the Sugar Bowl in seasons they didn't make the national championship game. So you can take it for however you're worth on that. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
Oh yeah, for over 65 years, Golden Motors has been your local Chevy Buick new car dealer. I'm sure you've seen us around supporting our local schools, charities, and organizations. That's just our way to say thanks to all of you for being there for us at Golden Motors. Looking for a new Chevy or Buick? Or looking for that new or pre-owned any make and model? Give us a call at 325-1000 or visit us on the World Wide Web at goldenmotors.com. Golden Motors, Chevy, find new roads.
Bailey's Tire Service is your one-stop shop auto repair center. Their goal is to satisfy customer needs that walk through the door with their selection of Cooper, Mastercraft, and Toyo tires. Bailey's Tire Service will treat your ride like their ride. So for auto repairs from oil changes, brake repairs, Bailey's Tire Service is your complete auto repair shop. Visit them online at baileystireservice.com or check them out on Facebook.
Every favorite has been reborn. The Caddyshack Bar and Grill is now Vinny's Caddyshack. Come check out the newly renovated bar, revamped liquor selection, and be sure to grab one of our specialty cocktails. If you are looking for a great lunch or want to unwind after a long day at the office, then look no further than Vinny's. Join us for the best happy hour in town. And we're open until 5 a.m. every night. Come see the all-new Vinny's at 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie.
Your life is mobile. So is your bank. As a State Bank and Trust Company account holder, you can check your balances, view transactions, transfer funds, and pay bills anywhere or anytime with State Bank and Trust Company's online banking or mobility app. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
800-998-1003. What did you think? Tom Herman said it after the game yesterday in the Sugar Bowl when he was being interviewed after the game that the physicality was something they thought they needed to bring and how they won football games this year. Starting quarterback wearing Drew Brees' jersey saying we're back. Texas Longhorns. They will face LSU this year. Quick shout out to Cruz and also to a Longhorn himself. All-American over at Texas, by the way, Mr. Pat Culpepper. They're listening, Jordan. Say hi. Be a nice individual.
What up?
Really? It's an All-American. You do a little bit more than what up. Hello, sir.
Hello, sir.
There you go. Much better. What up, sorry, bro? Stop it. Ridiculous. They were at the game last night checking it out, and Pat, who was an All-American over there at Texas, said they out-physicaled Georgia there. I was surprised. But you saw Texas really... from the beginning of the season, which again, this is just the day and age we live in, right? Jordan, do you remember week one and two, right? Herman, where are all those Herman lovers now? They were bad decision to go with Tech, right? Remember?
Yeah.
But you saw them get better. And then in the regular season game against Oklahoma, Texas won. And you saw them progress and get better by the week. I like Herman. But yeah, that was a style of football that, if you're going to beat an SEC team. If you're going to contend for a national championship, you got to do that. That kid's something else, huh? Did you see the shot of Tim Tebow and whoever the other pro wrestler was sitting next to him in the suite? My goodness. Shirts were stretching at an all-time maximum in that suite between those two gentlemen. Not like you and I stretch the shirts. You and I stretch them in a different area where the lap belt goes. They were stretching them in the bicep shoulder region.
In the pectoral
region. Yes. Well, I got the pectoral going, but I just, you know, so also got the lap belt area going as well. What's it called? The old spare tire. I just want to downsize from a full-size spare to the cheap spare. You know what I'm talking about? The little smaller, the donut spare. Right, Joey? Isn't that what it's called? The small spare is called a donut
spare? I don't think you're getting to that size anytime soon.
Oh, yeah.
The donut?
Yeah, I can get to the donut size spare.
You're looking at model status now.
No. That's washboard.
No, I'm talking about actual...
A donut?
An actual donut. You know, skiing, actually. I mean, like...
No, man. Dude, no. What I'm saying is that some cars come with the small spare tire. Mm-hmm. And I want to say it's called a donut spare.
I'll tell you.
We're not actually talking about a donut.
No, we're not talking about an actual donut.
Okay. Just had to make that clear.
It's got
to
be food with Jordan.
I know, right?
That's what I'm saying. You see, I have a problem.
No, wait a minute. You have a problem.
You do. I'll tell you on the air what I call the tire. I can't say it on the air.
But it is. I think it's a donut spare. Yeah. I think it's what it is. Yeah. But some cars, some manufacturers actually give you a full-size spare. Yes. Right now I'm at the full-size spare level.
Except Jordan. It's a cream-filled donut spare in the trunk.
Jordan's got a full-size SUV for the spare. He's ready to get going.
Right. And he's got a bear claw for a tire.
What did the shirt you get for Christmas again go? What was that again? A family member, by the way, gave this to Jordan.
A family member gave me, my cousin gave me a long-sleeve t-shirt. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, will it fit you? I'm like, I hope so. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, the shirt's showing a little bit of my belly at the bottom.
What did the shirt say?
It didn't say anything. It was just probably.
I thought he gave you a shirt that had a saying.
No.
I hope it fits you.
No. He said, I hope it fits you.
Because that would be completely different.
And then the whole family looked at me.
Yeah, no, I misunderstood you. I thought you told me the shirt.
No.
Red.
Can you post it on Facebook?
The shirt?
Or
me wearing the shirt? Maybe after the 26 days.
Now, were you leaning backwards or standing still? Are you standing still? I mean, if belly is showing standing still, yes.
I think I was holding it a little bit high. That's why.
You were holding it high?
Yeah, that's what I want to say to make myself feel better.
I mean, obviously, if I lean back on this chair right now,
belly wasn't showing. My shirt underneath it was showing. But
he had some Clint Eastwood pants.
It was still my belly.
Yes, some Clint Eastwood pants.
You could have blamed the pants. Yeah, exactly. I think either way, we're not alone in this conversation. Anyone listening, I guarantee you.
Feel my pants. There's a
I'm
little.
Not feeling your pants. Look, what kind of question
they're
is that?
Stretchy khaki.
Anyway,
it's called Cajun pants.
Yes, exactly. No, by the way, the stretchy waistbands are my favorite Dockers and stuff. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
My dress pants are
You can't even tell.
No, I need the stretchy ones where in case.
Crawfish
I just had to have
balls,
a weekend.
Yes,
balls.
I just.
Yeah. Yes. I need comfortable slacks when I call games. Yes. Huh?
There's nothing wrong with wearing these.
No, I think
stretches.
it's smartly engineered and designed.
You know, Jordan wears the elastic mom jeans.
No. Somebody in my family over the holidays, my sister of all people. I mean, I get it. Look, don't get me wrong. Most of the pictures that she sees, they are a little, you know, chest up. Mm-hmm. She got me a slim fit. Slim fit. You know who fits in slim fit clothing?
Not you.
No, definitely not me. Slim fit.
Stop
These it. Are like 130 pound men that fit in slim fit.
Stop it.
I mean, seriously. I don't even know that whole line of clothing and brand. I mean, I had a good buddy, Josh Bates, right? Who's the SID over at Tulane now went to Notre Dame. Yeah. Yeah. The guy only shopped like at Express over there, you know. I tried walking in one day. I'm like, let's see what kind of shit. Everything is slim fit. Pants, socks, everything. I'm like, how do you get slim fit socks? Like, socks wouldn't fit me. I'm like, what's wrong?
Socks wouldn't fit you?
Dude, I'm telling you, it's not like I'm Shrek a troll or something. I mean, you know what I mean? It's not like I'm an ogre.
Yeah, I mean, we're making ourselves sound like we're.
No, but that's what I'm saying. No, but that's what I'm saying. You have
men.
To pay attention. I mean, like, this is like a Ralph Lauren shirt. My sister's trying to, you know, here you go. Really nice shirt. Like, slim fit. Like, what makes you think? I mean, I tried a button, and the buttons were holding on for dear life because I work out. So, I mean, if you work out, you know, the chest area. I mean, it's just it's tight to.
We just gotta go on our grind a little bit, and we'll be fine.
Either way, yes, all of this is because the Cat and Gale fan. We got a $50 gift card on the line,
and I've just entered.
Whoever does the most in 31 days.
All right, I gotta find out. I gotta find out a way to hack this Fitbit.
No, you're not. I don't know how we're not Fitbit friends.
I don't know. I think
what,
there's
what
some
is that, 18 steps. Good job so far. That's what.
Does it really say 18?
It says 18.
No, it doesn't. It says 3,000.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that's wrong because on the bridge it bumps a little bit. So I think it.
Yeah. So you're getting the assist on the causeway, huh?
Yep.
And when he waves at people.
You definitely didn't move no 3,000 steps today.
I took 3,000 steps.
There's no way you did 3,000 steps today.
Back to the sporting news.
Back to the sports news. But this is where everyone's at. The reason I bring this up is because I think this is where a lot of people are at right now. The day after New Year's Day. Everyone feels it.
I broke my New Year's commitment. Less than 24 hours.
Dude, I put up like 5 pounds since Saturday. Like the morning weigh-in, because my wife's brilliant ideas this morning, everybody had to take a picture.
So like the Biggest Loser?
Yes. Everyone says, so if we're going to do it fair, she's like, everyone this morning has to take a picture of the scale. This morning. Before the day gets started.
This should be body shots. Shirt.
No one wants to see a body of a 203.
Nah, that's the only way you could judge it.
5'7", 203, no one needs body shots of that, okay? I'm fine. I'm comfortable, though, because I know there's two quick and easy ways to lose it.
How?
You cut down on the beverages.
Okay.
Beer.
Okay. Yes. Well, that's the key, right? So you cut down on that. So I will trim that to the weekends.
Okay.
And then Mrs. Irish woman that I have as a wife, I'm like, we got to stop the carbs, man. I'm like, we have mashed potatoes every night because the kid loves mashed potatoes. Like, we got to cut the carbs. Cut the carbs, cut the beverages Monday through Friday.
What about the
third
one?
That's an easy 7 to 10 for me.
What about the third one?
Easy 7 to 10. About the what?
The third one.
What's that?
Photoshop.
I could always Photoshop you, right?
Yeah. That's what Jordan does. Horrible.
I could always tell when you Photoshop, too.
I've never. What are you talking about? Name one thing I Photoshop.
At Tulane, you were taking me on a little tour. And you're like, oh, yeah, I could help you out. I'll make sure I tune it up a little bit.
What?
Yeah. So I got all these little backstories in my mind.
I don't even remember what you're talking about.
You have that little app that you paid for.
I did not pay for it. I have a Photoshop app. It's free.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. If you go to the App Store, Photoshop, the official Photoshop app is free.
No. I could tell.
You can't tell anything.
You're trying to say Gus's head on Hulk Hogan wasn't true?
Well, yeah. I mean, you could tell if I Photoshop myself on Hulk Hogan. Speaking of, Mean Gene Oakland passed away.
Oh, yeah.
You don't know who Mean Gene is.
He's the Daredevil.
Wow.
No, God.
No, that's Super Dave Osborne who passed away today as well. That's two completely different people.
Smothers Brothers.
Yes, Mean Gene was not a Daredevil. He was the guy that did the interviewing of the wrestlers while they were doing their promos.
Right. Yeah. Learn something new every
day. He always wore the tux.
I'll play a song.
Go Google Mean Gene. Yes. Joey, let's take the break. Find me a little Mean Gene.
No,
we'll have a little fun.
I'll find you something for Jordan into
for
break.
Jordan
here we go.
Well, sounds good.
Donuts. Donuts.
How it goes.
Mean Gene, a WWE legendary announcer, goes to the ring in the sky, the promo in the sky. Welcome back. We'll play a little bit more from Sean Payton's morning conference call. Saints practice today, practice tomorrow. Speaking of, you might want to get going over there, buddy.
I got 10 more minutes.
You know what? I can't deal with you. We're already in day one of the new year.
You think the Saints practice facility will let me work out with them?
No, you cannot work out at the Saints facility. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans.
But I like the nice round one weekend up. The ones that go slop, slop, slop. Slurp! Donuts.
At Thibodeau Regional, we're proud to announce we've received Health Grades 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodeau Regional, once again recognized by Health Grades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodeau.com.
Vision Communication is proud to announce LightWave, a breakthrough in television viewing. The interactive programming guide is awesome for finding your favorite shows quickly. More channels are available, plus multi-room DVR, easy to search video on demand, and new apps such as local weather. You can even customize your settings for more control. Lightwave is here. Call today to get a great introductory offer. It's part of our promise to bring you a better vision.
Keep your business on the cutting edge with electrical supplies from Bayou Black Electric Supply in Houma. Bayou Black Electric Supplies has marine, oil field, and industrial electrical supplies. They have products ranging from marine, cable, lightning, and lots more, including Eaton Electrical. Many items for any project or repair. Count on superior service and lightning fast delivery. Bayou Black Electric Supply is your local electric connection, a division of Fleet Supply Warehouse, located on Highway 311 in Houma.
Cars that sound like this. Trust Pennzoil Synthetics to protect their engines in extreme conditions. Top racing teams know that Pennzoil Synthetics give them the performance to help them succeed. And your car's engine deserves the same. Because your daily commute is no less important. Get complete protection for top engine performance just like the pros. Visit Pennzoil.com/rebate to save on Pennzoil Synthetics. Terms apply.
Got a hot take?
Everybody listen up.
Let's hear it. Call us at 800-998-1003.
Answer that phone.
Or tweet us at ESPN Radio NOLA. Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Cattingill.
Welcome back. Sports Hangover. Coach O on pulling off the win.
So proud of these guys. They helped them build a championship program. Character, leadership. They fought the whole season. But they forever Tigers. We will forever remember what they did at LSU. 11 men on the field, and we fight like Tigers. LSU has a great tradition, coming to big bowls and winning, and we did it.
There you go. Coach O on beating, being the team to snap the UCF win streak.
You know what? Hard work by coaching staff, hard work by players. We've had some excellent practices. 11 men on the field, and we fight like Tigers. LSU has a great tradition, coming to big bowls and winning, and we did it.
There you go. Second time in a row he said the same thing. What? I'm not... Uh-huh. Thank you, Jordan, for noticing that there, buddy.
I even thought I cut it wrong.
Mm-hmm. It's called Jordan the Intern cutting the same thing twice, labeling it completely. It was kind of like a whole new thing, right?
Yeah, I don't think anyone would have noticed if...
I'm pretty sure people would have noticed it was the exact same thing.
Yeah, but we gave it a different narrative.
Dynamite drop in, Monty. That broadcast school has really paid off.
I have to work with you. Coach O's thoughts on the LSU team. It might be the same bite. I don't know. Let's find out.
Leadership, character, blocked out the noise. We started the beginning of the season. Nobody gave us a chance. They did it. What a wonderful year.
All right. Good job. That was actually different. Takeaway for the future.
You know, the leadership of this football team, the recruiting class that we have, the recruiting class that we're going to get, we're going to replace our seniors with some great players to put in this great football team, and we're on our way at LSU.
On our way. Coach O, his message to the seniors.
So proud of these guys. They helped build a championship program, character, leadership. They fought the whole season, but they forever Tigers. We will forever remember what they did at LSU.
There you go. Sports Hangover continues with North Korean Santa, 800-998-1003. North Korean Santa, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. But I tell you what, that Coach O is something else. I've never heard more cliches in my life. He is just walking cliche pull string doll, but he's a good dude, I imagine. But I want to just talk about this whole, if you don't mind, this college football cult people have where they say, well, they didn't care. I'm going to give you a quick story, and then I have a question for you. Okay. My senior year, I played on a basketball team that was written up to be probably, we're going to win the state championship, preview to do it. I didn't play that much, needless to say, but we won 13 games in a row, and then we ended up having trouble, that's turmoil, we lost, now we have to win. The next two games of the season, the last two games of the season to go to the playoff. Well, that second to last game we lost. So the last game was pointless, right? We didn't care in practice. We didn't care on the bus ride there. We didn't care in the layup line. But when that ball got tipped, we cared. Cared enough to go to win a meaningless game in triple overtime. Don't tell me that these kids don't care. And the thing that gets me so heated, especially on Twitter, is when I have to hear this, oh, Georgia didn't care. Maybe Texas just kicked their ass. I mean, we only hear about the didn't care thing when they lose. No one says, well, LSU didn't care and they won. You kind of agree with me here. What's your take here? Because I think you take something away from these teams that upset. Like, Oklahoma did not want to lose to Boise. Nick Saban did not want to get curb stomped by Utah. I'll tell you that now. But I think when the big upsets come, here comes the narrative, and it really, really, especially after about 26 Bush Lights, gets me a little aggravated. But how do you feel about that?
No, I hear you. Look, I mean, that was what you kept hearing and reading yesterday on social media as Texas was beating Georgia, right? That the Bulldogs really didn't want to be there. It's hard for them to kind of get up for this game. When you know what? At the end of the day, I think that's you listen to O just now. It mattered to them to go there and look good and play well, didn't it? It did. You could hear him, his excitement level, going to play some Burrow here coming up here as well. It mattered to them to do that. And you saw UCF. It mattered to them there. You saw a very competitive, high-energy, emotional-type football game. That was awesome. So, yeah, look, it does matter. And I understand, to your point, because I brought it up, it was Utah, not Wisconsin. You're right. Utah and Ohio State curb stomp Alabama twice in the Sugar Bowl when they didn't want to be here. So, you know, I'm with you that it doesn't matter and it shouldn't not matter and stuff, but I think the reality is sometimes you do see that in some games where some teams are up more for it than others. You know, I mean, I don't know. I thought watching that Kentucky Penn State bowl, you know, yesterday too, I was Penn State kind of, I seen them play a little bit better in the year. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, look, I'm going to say, I agree with some of that. I'm not saying not ever. I'm sure there's been a team that didn't want to be there. But, like, don't act like the Sugar Bowl in national television in front of, I don't know, 80 million people.
Yeah.
Is not a big, like, oh, yeah, that's not a big deal. I mean, that's a huge deal. So, I mean, I can never prove any of this. I just think that people that say this are in some truth or cult. They need to realize that I know my story doesn't really play, but trust me, if we cared about a dumb high school basketball game, these kids care about taking the field in front of 8 million people. Anyway, I'll let you go. I just was interested to hear your take on that.
No, man, for sure, man. Thank you so much, North Korean Santa.
Have a good one.
For sure, man. Happy New Year to you. I think it matters. You definitely saw Texas show up, though, man. That swagger that they had. I love their quarterback, man. It was fun to watch. Start the new year upright with Mr. Uptown Ruler. Uptown Ruler, Happy New Year's to you, bud. How are you?
Well, Happy New Year to everybody that's listening out there. And I hope you put your bets on the Saints because you're going to be a winner every time.
Mm-hmm. I like the sound of that.
But the only thing is I was listening to an Estrada last night, and she picked the Rams to win the Super Bowl.
Okay.
And I got mad with her because, well, one thing, we beat the Rams. So that might be just a and if we play them again, we're going to beat them again.
Yeah, look, I'll say this, man. That game was pretty competitive, right? And it's an exciting one going back and forth. I still think the Rams, if they're healthy and play that way, to me are the team that can compete with the Saints back and forth offensively. But, you know, here's the thing. All the teams, have they differed and changed from the midway point of the year, right? I mean, that was the midway point of the season. I mean, the Saints offense, does it look the same as that? But does it mean they can't be? I think health is a huge issue as to that. Yes, defenses have caught up. Yes, tendencies can be done. I still think if the Saints O-line is remotely healthy, that offense can get back to putting up the points they do. I just think they have the weaponry.
Hey, and it doesn't matter who wins with Dallas and Seattle, but I'm going to be pulling for Seattle. I like the quarterback for Seattle, but, I some ways I don't like Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
But if Seattle can pull it off on Dallas, I would be happy if they did. But if they didn't, I would not be happy if they didn't. But at the same time, I would want the defensive end from down here from Dallas.
Yeah,
I want him back down here so he can get his butt kicked. And this time we
you want revenge. You want revenge. That's what it is.
And guess what? And this time when we beat them, We won't be beating them in the regular season game. We be beating them in the playoff game, and we send them home with nothing.
You're about revenge. I get it. There's a lot of people that want revenge. Thank you, Uptown Ruler. Appreciate it, man.
You're welcome.
Yep. Happy New Year to you. Chip on Twitter, at ESPN Radio NOLA. I'm eventually going to get this right. He says it was Utah and Oklahoma that beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl. Ohio State beat them in the first championship semifinal. Yeah. But, yeah, those two, I just remember, I mean, Alabama's didn't look good, especially in that Utah game. Ronnie on Twitter, I'm asking, and, you know, what are the teams you want to see? Rank the top three opponents you want to play in the NFC divisional round. He says Eagles, Cowboys, followed by the Seahawks. So he actually has Philly above Dallas. Those are the three possible opponents the Saints can face. Nola Dad, in the order I gave him earlier, Cowboys, Eagles, Hawks. Russ is the player who worries him the most. Bobby Wagner as well. Relic on Twitter at GCAT_17. He would least want to see the Eagles, because if they can get past Chicago, they would be a tough out. Seattle next. Play us tough in the playoffs. I wouldn't say it's just bad memories, right? It's just bad memories. I think Saints fans, not even Saints fans. I remember Robert Meacham the first Thursday he met us over there at Vinny's. Remember what he said about Seattle? I was kind of surprised he said it. He was like, oh, yeah, we felt the same way. The second success started going the other way, or something bad happened, we're sitting on the sidelines, go, here we go again. Players felt it. I'm telling you, I call it the Twilight Zone. But it was interesting to hear a player on those teams flat out say they felt it, and they could feel the momentum just turn. But you remember that. You remember those games there. The Monday Nighter, the playoff games, It's just stuff happens when you play that team. Now, granted, it was at Seattle. And look, they got themselves into the postseason here at the end of the year. Play most of their games there at home. In Seattle. I still think either way, and Todd and I, Todd Graffinini, voice of the Green Wave, speak about this all the time. It's the playoffs. It's not supposed to be easy. You'd like to sit there and say it's a beating and you can walk in and waltz in. You see that sometimes, some seasons with some teams. For the most part, look, the divisional round and the NFC Championship game are going to be a battle of good teams. But it's why I have more confidence in the Reaper and some of the other folks, right? I think the Saints have shown this year the ability to win close games, ugly games, defensive battles, offensive shootouts. They've been able to do all of that and more. And I still think, maybe I'm wrong, I still think the reason you're not seeing the high-powered offense and the different points, which, by the way, they put up 30-plus against Pittsburgh, it just, you can't discount the offensive line health, man. You just cannot. Especially when they did the beating on the Eagles. And they played so well against the Rams. And they went that stretch where they didn't give up a sack. I remember Brian Baldinger, local reporters, putting up video clips of Drew Brees making the read or throwing the pass, and there was just a complete beautiful, you know, upside-down V or upside-down U shape to the pocket. They want anybody near Brees' feet, his arms. He had nothing but green around his ankles. Towards the end of the year, injuries to the offensive line. Most of the still photos you see Drew Brees throwing, he has someone around him, on him, hitting them. It's just reality. I mean, again, just go back. Don't take my word for it. Go back. Go click the highlights when the Saints were just waxing people. The Bengals, go back. Just click highlights. NFL Network, the Saints have it, ESPN, you name it. Go to the game. There's always a button that says highlights. Go watch for yourselves. When the Saints put up points, Brees is delivering the football. There's nothing around him. Now go back to the Cowboys, the Bucs game even, and the Panthers that Monday night. He was getting hit. I mean, that's the difference to me. Same personnel, same everything. Different amount of time to throw the football. Sports Hangover wraps it up next on ESPN New Orleans. I'm your captain.
It's a brand new year at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Hurry in for a great deal on a Ram at their Start Something New sales event. See their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Wishing everyone a very blessed and prosperous new year.
From Chad and Trixie Boudreau, our family, and the staff of Joe Septic Contractors.
Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic has moved to the new Lady of the Sea Cutoff Clinic, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano. The same After Hours staff will continue to see patients from 5 to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends with no appointment necessary. Now the convenience of a walk-in clinic with a pharmacy at the same location is available for our community. Same provider in a new environment. Lady of the Sea After Hours Clinic, here when you need us.
Sign up for the South LaFouche Diamond Club Winter Baseball Camp Saturday, January 19th, hosted by head coach Andrew Revalier, assistant coaches Chandler Guidraz, Corey Helmer, and Brian Shassaw, and assisted by the South LaFouche Tarpon Baseball Team. Open to ages 5 through 14. That's South LaFouche Diamond Club Winter Baseball Camp January 19th from 9 a.m. until 3 p.m. at the La Rose Regional Park. Registration begins at 8 a.m., $60 per player. Bring your glove, bat, cleats, and hat. For more information, contact Coach Revalier at sltarponbaseball@gmail.com.
Hey, this is Jordy Collada and T-Bob Hebert. Make sure and tune in every weekday morning, 7 to 9 a.m. to Off the Bench.
Live and local, whether it's Saints, Pelicans, Tigers, we got it all. A 100.3 ESPN.
Oh, big talker,
man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Dave up in Monroe says, up here in North Louisiana, the Houdat Nation wants the Cowgirls. The revenge factor is definitely number one on the list, but having to listen to these irrational Dallas fans is a close number two. Houdat! I'm going Dallas, as I think the team that most fans would want, and I actually think favors the Saints. I really do. I just don't see a repeat. I could be wrong. Saints defense, I mean, Cowboys defense could come into the dome and do the same thing. I just thought that game plan from the get-go was one you just, you know, Joey, you crinkle up and you just need to leave it in the wastebasket in the locker room. Don't ever bring that game plan out again. I mean, you essentially gave Mark Ingram the night off. It was just a bad game plan. One of the other things I want to bring up too is obviously in these coaching searches that's going on in around the NFL, Dan Campbell now being, apparently the Cards may interview him for a head coaching position. Packers and Browns have asked to interview him. Sean Payton earlier today in his conference call was asked, have you allowed any coaches to be interviewed?
Yeah, I wouldn't release any of that to you guys right now.
There you go. See, I don't understand that. Why other? How come nationally we have to find out about the staff doing it and he won't? I don't know. For whatever reason, that's what he had to say. I did want to play a couple of Joe Burrow bites before we wrap up the show. Again, Matt Moscone, after further reviews coming up next, he'll have extensive coverage, obviously, of the game yesterday and give his takeaways from it. To me, I thought Burrow was the one thing above all. There are a handful of things that he can take out of that game. You know, coming to play, looking as well as they did, the depth on defense, guys stepping up, guys on the defensive line stepping up, making some plays, sacking a quarterback and stopping a pretty high powered offense. They still put up some points yesterday, UCF, but still, I thought this stood out, but to me, Joe Burrow was just above it all. That dude got clocked, man. And it didn't faze him. If anything, he might have ticked him off. And I said, when they came back and scored that touchdown on the ensuing drive in which they got the ball back, I thought that's the kind of stuff that wins your respect on the UCF sidelines. I mean, you saw them all jumping up and down when he got clocked and everything, and one guy was taunting him and the flag was thrown. I get that. I think at the end of the day, football players, respect toughness. And I think at the end of that game, and then you saw Burrow go look for Milton after the game and show him respect. That's such a tough injury, man. That kid was in the hospital for a while. He had immediate surgery that night on that gruesome injury. 2 games before the end of the season, the last game of the season there. But he showed something, and he had all season long. But if you take the latter half of that A&M game and in that overtime game and what you saw yesterday, to me, he's the number one reason you have a ton of, you have maybe, high hopes at LSU for next year. High meaning can contend and try to compete. Like, again, you still have to figure out a way to beat Bama. I understand that. But LSU this year was in the college football playoff rankings. That's a huge accomplishment. You have to, you have to give credit for that. Right? They're inside of the four in rankings. And even after they lost to Bama, they were still in that top 10. They play Texas next year. It's a huge game. But they have shown the ability to be able to go do that, and I think they're going to be better at running back. I thought it was key yesterday to kind of see some of those young receivers make some plays. You'd expect the line to sort of get better. Look, Devin White will be a loss if he decides eventually to declare, which you got to imagine he will. But it was probably nice to see some defensive back play and some, you know, some depth yesterday here as well. But to me, it was Burrow. To me, it was Burrow. Burrow after the game on what the season meant to him.
It's been great, and it's great to finish this way with a lot of momentum going into the offseason. Things are going to get real special around here next year. You can bet on that.
There you go. Finishing that first season as a Tiger.
No, we had highs and lows, but to finish it off this way with these guys is incredible. This award, this is mine. This is the O-lines, the receivers, all my teammates. I'm so proud of these guys.
The MVP of the game. Again, just I thought he played spectacular. But it's just really the intangible aspect of that here as well. What's next for the Tigers for him?
It's going to be special. We're going to work our tails off in the offseason, get healthy, and we're coming next year.
Just like the coach, Joey, we're coming. 394 yards, 4 TDs, an interception. I think it's one of the reasons as well that you probably won't see change at the offensive coordinator position, or at the very least, like I said, if you do that, Ensminger stays on board somehow in that staff. You just got to have that continuity somehow, some way. I think the other thing that I saw, Cody Worsham, used to be with Tiger Rag, you remember, now writes for LSU. He tweeted something about Burrow after the game saying that he wants to lead by example. He's like, you have to have your best players be the hardest workers. And you lead by that example. And that if your best players and your leaders are the hardest workers in the offseason and workers during the week and workers during the season, then that's how you build a solid team in a good locker room. Again, it's remarkable when you think this kid gets in here, what was it, mid to late May? And you saw it after that Miami game to me. I said it, I think, on that Monday after that game against Miami. I thought it was the single most impressive thing out of that win. It's like, you have a quarterback. LSU legitimately has a quarterback. A guy that made reads. A guy that knew where to check the ball to. Where to check the runs to. And you were just now at that point going, okay, you weren't, you know, closing your eyes or had your hands in front of your face every time a pass happened. That to me was the most impressive thing. That kid took a beating on some plays yesterday. Wasn't phased, man. It's pretty cool stuff. Matt Muscoden, after further review, is going to go a little deeper into this game. We'll be tomorrow at Vinny's. Come by, say hi to us. We'll talk a little bit more on the wild card. Plus, the Saints have that practice today. Open locker room going on now. Jordan's over there. We'll have all of that for you tomorrow here from quarterback Drew Brees. It's a Sports Hangover. Thanks for tuning us in. Matt, you're up on After Further Review here on ESPN New Orleans.